This is Jody Stone on the 13th of November, 1986, interviewing Isabel Atishan Decker. Atishan is spelled A-T-E-S-H-I-A-N. Okay. Isabel, your parents, what were their names?
My mother's name was Sarah, and my father's name was Marty. My father died when I was 13 months old, so I never really knew my real father. My stepfather was Albert, who a lot of people in Lakeville knew. My mother remarried again when I was 10 years old.
What was his name?
Albert.
Atishan?
No, Abramovich.
Abramovich, okay.
And that's about it. They moved here. My mother moved here from New Jersey, where my grandparents lived. They immigrated from Armenia, and they immigrated to New Jersey. My father contacted tuberculosis. And there was this job at Hotchkiss School where my mother's brother was working. So my mother's brother, my Uncle Johnny, sent for my mother and my father to come to Lakeville for my father's health. Well, as I say, in the meantime, he got worse. He had tuberculosis. They took him to Saranac Lake, and that's where he died. And my mother ran the cleaning business. We owned a cleaning and dry cleaning and tailor shop. My mother mended the clothes and also ran my uncle dry cleaned. And
this was in Lakeville?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Well, at first it was down where the old Dufour buildings were. There were three businesses in that big building. There was the Western Union, there was our cleaning shop, and there was Paul Argo's barber shop, and before that or after that, I can't remember which, was the radio shop. I think the radio shop came first. Old Mr. Bishop had a radio shop. And I used to play on that front porch when I was a little tyke, maybe about 4, 5, 6 years old. Many times I had a great habit of taking off all my clothes and running across the street and jumping into that watering kettle. And naturally, my mother wasn't watching me because she was busy, and there was many a time I almost drowned because I couldn't get out of the watering kettle. It was all slimy on the bottom.
Are you talking about here in Salisbury?
No, I'm talking about the watering kettle down in front of the firehouse in Lakeville.
Okay.
I used to run right across the street and jump in the watering kettle. And Mr. Mike Dunn, who worked at Joe O'Loughlin's meat market up on top of the hill across from the old bank, would be coming down on his lunch hour and have to fish me out, take me home under his arm. I had a wonderful childhood. I can remember playing down at the community service in the yard, in the coal bins, they're all black, naturally, and climbing the wood piles. Both Mr. Coles's never minded me playing there. They used to let me. And the great big treat was riding on the coal wagon with the horse and with the team of horses with old Grandpa Garrity. That was a treat. And then on a Sunday, sometimes Dorothy Wheeler would be out exercising her horse in the community service yard right there now where the office is. They lived in a little house right next door, which is where they still live. And another big treat was to have Dorothy give me a ride on one of the horses. She had two horses, I think. One was Prince, which was a nice horse, and then there was King, which was an ugly horse. I was afraid of King. And Dorothy would give me a ride on that horse. Then, if I was lucky enough, I'd sneak up to Mary Rainsford's because she had a horse named Chicago. And then I'd get on that horse and have a ride with Mary, and she also had a buggy. I don't know what you call those buggies. She also had the one horse sleigh and the jingle bells on it. I can remember that, and she'd always give all us different children a ride on the buggy, in the wagon, or whatever you want to call it. The games we played, I grew up on Montgomery Street. My mother bought the house that belongs to Carol Wagner now, the brown shingled house. I grew up there after I'm going to say 10 years old. I played with Elaine Brown, who was Madeline Garrity's niece. I played with Binky Curtis, who was Johnny Curtis's, well, old Johnny Curtis was the vegetable man, both at Godrus Market, also at Shagroy. Binky's brother now works in Shagroy, Johnny Curtis. We used to feed him mud pies. And we'd play by the hour. There was the Teller D, Mary and Freddie Teller D, and the Silvernail kids, Betty and Audrey and Bobby. Mr. Roberts lived up on top of the hill, and he was the one that owned Roberts' store that burnt twice in Lakeville. We used to raid that garden every summer. And I think Mr. Roberts knew we were doing it because he'd never said anything to us. Never. He'd let us raid the garden. We thought we were getting away with something, but we weren't. Games. We played kick the can by the hour. Kick the can. And hide-go-seek and tag. And, I don't know, a lot of softball and a lot of touch football. Of course, that was when we weren't in the lake. Any youngster growing up in Lakeville that didn't know how to swim, that was a crime, because the lake, every child in Lakeville was at the lake. I went there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. Mr. Timmons used to run the little building there, and most kids can remember, the kids in my group can remember him holding out his hand saying, 10 cents please, 10 cents please, and that was how much it cost to get in the lake. But a lot of us locals didn't pay. These were just for the out-of-towners. And I learned to swim by the older boys throwing me in. And if my mother only knew now, Laura Curtis and Linnea Pavola, her father owned Pavola's Variety Store down where Johnny Mohel's building is now, on the other side where Mrs. Dumps has her sewing shop. That was Hugo Pavola's Variety Store. Before that, it was up on the hill where Keffer and Essler is. There was a building there next to Keffer and Essler where Mr. Pavola had his variety store. All the Hotchkiss boys used to go in there to play records and to buy pencils and pads and all sorts of sundry of things. I used to go in there to visit now and then, but as I've started to say, Linnea, Laura Curtis, and Tootsie Erickson Vale were supposed to have been my babysitters. Also Doris Peabody and Marcia Rudd. That was Hop Rudd's sister. They were supposed to have been my babysitters, but they'd go off with their boyfriends or whatever and leave me to fend for myself. And little known to my mother, I was getting thrown in the lake out on the big raft by the big boys, and I couldn't swim. So it was either swim or sink until someone got in after me. Usually it'd be Jackie Hammond. He'd come in and save me and take me back to shore. The stores. Well, all along up where Keflin Ethler is now, where that mini park is, was a whole row of stores. Number one, there was Dr. Leverty's drugstore, where we used to go in every afternoon after school for ice cream, sit in one of the booths. Then there was Miller's Plumbing Shop. And before that, there was a dress shop. Harry and Hattie Amundson had a little, it was like a little dry goods store where you could buy material and all that sort of thing. A couple of ladies' house dresses. Then there was the Lakeville Journal office was up there. Old Ben Jones was the editor, and I can remember Bill Bushnell worked in there. I don't think that's anybody that you know, and I don't really know how to tell you who she was, but everybody in Lakeville knew Bill Bushnell, Dorothy Bushnell. She lived up in the house, I think, what is now Salmon Creek Builders, if I'm not mistaken. Then there was the telephone company.
Can I interrupt a minute? When you were a child, you were telling me you were the town orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the only one who had the nerve to visit the Chinaman.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, right there where Keffer and Essler is, we had, before that, there was a Chinaman down in Lakeville by the AMP, which was in that row of buildings by right next to the Gulf gas station that they took down. I don't remember him too well, but I certainly remember Jung Lee, because he had a shop right there where Keffer and Essler is. And I would, as I say, I visited all these places in Lakeville. I made my rounds every day. I had to go to Herb Beebe's frame shop. I had to go to Mr. Wheeler's upholstery shop. I had to go into Heaton and Barnett and visit all of them. I had to go to the Dufour's garage and see what they were doing, keep tabs on them. I had to go in Hugo Pavola's. I had to hook a ride with Grandpa Garrity on the horse and buggy team, driving the coal. I also had to go in and see my friend, Mr. Jung Lee, the Chinaman, who most children in Lakeville were scared to death of him, but I wasn't for some reason. I'd go in and he'd make me sit down and he'd show me how he ironed the shirts. And I could remember it used to fascinate me to see him blowing through that thing to dampen the clothes. And in the back room where he lived, he'd have something delicious cooking, and I never knew what it was, and I never really tasted any of it. I think I did once, I'm not sure. But he used to send home packaged tea to my mother. He gave me a beautiful fan. And every Halloween, the kids would bother him, but I never bothered him, so he never bothered me. He liked me, and I liked him. And speaking of Halloween, that was another big deal in Lakeville. The trestle was in Lakeville then. The railroad used to go through. And it was a must that the Lakeville kids had to get up on that trestle and wait for the Salisbury kids to come down so we could pepper them with eggs, pumpkins, old raw rotten tomatoes, whatever else we could find. That was it for Halloween night. If we didn't pepper the Salisbury kids and get into a good fight with them, it wasn't Halloween. We'd hide up on that trestle, I can remember. Of course, we used to walk the railroad track from Lakeville to Salisbury all the time. And of course, with my girlfriend June Parsons Cunningham, we'd have to walk the track from Lakeville to Salisbury. But in the meantime, we used to have to stop. It was a must to stop at the sewer bed, which was down in back of LPM. Why we had to stop there, I don't know, but they had this most beautiful long pipe that got higher and higher and higher, and we wanted to see how far we could walk before getting afraid of falling off of the pipe. That was a big deal. Well,
where did you go to school?
Well, I went to school. First, I started up where the Friendly Club is now, where the little building is, where the Masons, one of those buildings. I don't know what's there now. The Mason building. I started school there. Then we came down to where the post office is in Lakeville. I went to school there until the sixth grade. Then we went up to where the old school building is now. My teachers were first grade Hazel Flynn, second grade Betty Whalen Matheson, Miss Argo, Bessie Argo, fourth grade Veronica Metcalf, fifth grade Miss O'Brien, Alice O'Brien, sixth grade Hazel Wilson, seventh grade Betty Holcomb Minor, and eighth grade Mr. Levitt, whom we all love, Marshall Levitt. I don't know whatever happened to him. Went to high school for 2 years at the high school in Lakeville, and then they built Regional. And we went down to Regional, and that was that.
Who was in your class?
Turn it off for a minute.
Okay.
In my class, there was, quite a few of us. I went to school with Henry Belter, the Belter boys, Pete and Jack Flynn, Polly Fitting, June Parsons Cunningham, Gloria Hayde, Ed Fitting, my husband, John Decker, Harry Stanton. A lot of these people nobody know. Kenneth Weir, Edith Weir.
And how do you spell Weir?
W-E-I-R. Now, there was a lot of us around. Some are dead now. And Rose Solon, that's Steve Blass's mother. Bette Sivernail, the Sivernail girls, Mary Marcon, Tina Marcon's sister, and the Francis kids who have all moved away. A lot of these people have moved away. Richard Beebe, Clorinda Yulin's brother. Warren Churchill, who was our minister's son. Dick Vail, Jim Vail's brother.
What did you do when you graduated from high school?
What did I do? Well, while I was going to high school, I worked in Bessie's Lunch. That was in the Row Building. In fact, it was right down in the basement from where I lived. And when I was only about 13 years old, I'd go down and help Bessie peel potatoes for the night for the next day, but I couldn't work because I was too young and she couldn't hire me. But finally, when I got to be about 15, we lied about my age, and then I waited on table, slung hamburgers. And it was great down in that hole. Every town person went there, everybody in town, and all the Hotchkiss boys on their day off would come down there after hamburgers, maltons, ice cream. And, I don't know, I had a great time in there. Then I worked for a while at Jigger Shop for Mrs. Ham, who was Francis Lemoyne's parents. Mrs. Green was there, and Rena Marcon. I graduated and worked both at Bessie's Lunch and the Interlaken Inn. I worked at Interlaken for the Percy family when they had the inn, when it was first opened, I think. And from there, I graduated to the good old telephone company.
Which was where?
Which was up where Peter Woods Oil Company is now, upstairs. The Dodges lived downstairs. There was something else downstairs, and I can't remember what. How silly of me. Of course, Mr. Applehanian's taxi service. That was downstairs. And then, who took the taxi company over after that? I can't remember, but we used to take their calls for them. As I graduated to the telephone company, and that was a great, then I stuck with the telephone company, as you know, for 40 years.
Who were the other operators?
There was Katie Heffernan Bell, who just passed away, Tryphena Forsyth, Laura Curtis, Mary Patton Andreg, and of course Margaret Garrity. And before that, when I first went there to work, the Stewart sisters were in charge. Hannah and Fanny Stewart. If they only knew the things that we did, we never would have kept that job for 40 years. We had a great time. And let me see.
This was what telephone company? Was it Southern New
England? Oh, yes.
It
Southern
was.
New England
Southern
telephone
England.
Company. Yeah. In fact, Hannah and Fanny Stewart were trained. Well, I think Hannah was one of the first operators in the whole state of Connecticut. She was trained in New Haven, if I'm not mistaken, to learn how to plug up holes, as we used to call it.
Where were you trained? Here? By someone here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in those days to learn how to do it. You just, you know. I learned how to do it up here in Lakeville, and then from there on, I went to New Jersey during the war. The war came. My people went bankrupt. Business wasn't too good, so they moved to Detroit, but I wouldn't go to Detroit, so I went to New Jersey and lived with an aunt and uncle and got so homesick I came back home again to Lakeville. I couldn't stand it.
Were you married by then?
No. Mm. No, I wasn't married. I came back to Lakeville. We worked in Lakeville for a while, and if the telephone company ever knew, as long as the guy had a uniform on, he never got charged. I don't think I should tell that one, but I did. As long as he had a uniform on, he was in the service. Laura Curtis and myself and Elaine Brown, a couple of the others, we'd never charge him for a long distance call. Never. Then from there we moved to Canaan Telephone Company. And I worked there for quite a long time. I was married then, but more about Lakeville, all the stores that were there. I don't know, what else would you like?
I was thinking, Did you ever go to Millerton to shop, Canaan to shop? Did all your shopping here, the stores were adequate then?
Yes.
They certainly aren't now.
No, we never, I can't, no, because my mother didn't have any car. Mm. We'd go down to the A&P, which was next door to the Gulf gas station. She bought her meat and stuff up at Mr. Godress's meat market up on the hill. Then, of course, there was the First National came. That's where the Lakeville Cafe is. Now, before that, it was Roberts' store, Mr. Roberts. I can't remember too much about that, but Mr. Curtis would the vegetables. And I can't remember the groceries in the meat department at all. The upstairs was the where they had the hall where the boys used to play basketball, where they used to have the dances, and where they used to have put on little plays and skits. Before, like, we had a Grange in Salisbury, Lakeville a long time ago. Lila Nash could tell you about that. I can't remember too much about that. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
But I can remember the building burning. I can remember because we lived right there next door, more or less.
Anything else you can remember about your childhood? Any parades or picnics or catastrophes or big fires or?
I can remember the Lindbergh kidnapping. That was a great talk of the town there in 1936, wasn't it? I don't remember. I don't know. I can't remember. I imagine a lot of things would come back to me if somebody asked me questions. But right off the top of my head, I can't remember. I don't know. I was just too busy growing up, I guess.
I think you've done very well. You've given us a lot of information. And I thank you muchly.
You are more than welcome.
One date we forgot. Isabel was born in February of 1923, and she went to work for the telephone company in 1941.